Okay. When Jeremiah starts out, let the Lord have his way in your heart every day. There's no peace, there's no rest till the Lord has his way. Put your hand in his hand, rest securely in his plan. Let the Lord, oh, let the Lord have his way. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, for this day and all that you have for us in it. We thank you, dear God, that this day, at this moment, this time, that we can look to you, place our faith in you, and experience your presence and your working in our hearts and our minds. As we clear our minds and our schedules of those things that are not profitable for eternity's sake, Father, we begin to see all manner of things that are profitable, things that are worth our time and worth the life that you've given us in Christ. Father, we just pray for the so many needs around us in this world and things that we're going through. Lord, we just thank you that our trust and our vision of the future comes from you. Father, bless this time as only you can. May the Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts and in our minds that we might learn your truth. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We live in very interesting times. And imagine a moment when suddenly the world will see the truth revealed as they've scoffed and mocked Christians for believing in a God or in a Savior or some invisible force and wasting their lives and trying to discourage Christians. And suddenly, the veil, I'll call it a veil. There's a veil over the earth and over the eyes of mankind in general that keeps us from seeing reality. It keeps us from seeing reality. That to learn about reality, to be able to see through that veil, requires us to be enlightened by the Spirit, have the Spirit pull that veil aside that we can see the things that we need to see. Without a sense of reality, without a sense of purpose, without a sense the proper sense of perspective, our lives and the life in this world devolves into chaos. On a small level, on tremendous levels. The veil that is over the eyes of the hearts and the minds of man is impenetrable, but by the revelation of God. The very real and dominating glory and presence of the kingdom of God lies just beyond that veil. Just beyond that veil. As we dare, as we trust, as we seek and we pray, Lord, give me understanding. Help me to focus on those things beyond this veil. Let me get a glimpse that I might lay hold of those things. He does that. But there's a time, there's a day coming when that veil will be rent. It will be rolled back. If one sudden, great, as the lightning travels from the east to the west, just rapidly, the sudden appearing of Christ in glory will bring every thought and every system known to man today to its knees instantly. It's going to be a crushing blow to so many and to so many things. So until that day with this veil, mankind as a whole is given to all manner of worthless, foolish, ungodly activities that one day will forever be removed and forgotten. Much of what our world is about is nonsense, is illogical, is irrelevant. Irrelevant. That's one thing that people long for these days. They long for relevance. You can hear it in the cry of their hearts when they post personal things out there in the internet for other people to read. They want to feel relevant. They want to feel known. They want to feel that their life, their purpose has purpose, and relevance is in politics, in governments, in every realm. In every realm, men's lives and human race are just given to absolutely worthless, foolish activities and endeavors. Great engineering feats that mean nothing. You think it's going to matter if we listen to a little bit of discussion about, I want to say Elon Musk said that in the next 20 years we'll have people living on Mars. And they've taken, soil from the moon, but they've in a controlled environment, they've put water and seed in, and plants have sprouted. Kind of thought dirt would be fairly universal, but anyway. But he's saying that people, do you think it's going to matter that we put people on Mars when Jesus comes in glory? Man was given to inhabit the earth. There's no need to go to Mars. There's a discussion about, you know, space travel and the technology that goes with it. And I've always been fascinated, I've said this before, I've been always been fascinated with the technology and that they can do those things, but it really doesn't mean and accomplish anything. Supposedly now there's a kind of a race to claim territory on the moon, claim rights to the moon and those sorts of things. Who was it that was trying to claim part of the South Pole as theirs because they found it first or something like that recently? I can't remember who that was. But that's fine. But the thing is, man gives tremendous amounts of money and time and effort to accomplishing things that will come to absolutely nothing, to be forgotten forever because of this veil. They can't see through the veil. They can't see that it's worthless. They can't see that it's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. I remember years ago, I found some statistics on the amount of money spent on the space program. This was some years ago when the United States was putting a lot of money into the space program, and how that same amount of money would feed the population of the United States for years. But instead went to technology and putting a piece of metal in orbit around Earth. If we turn to Revelation chapter 6, this one chapter gives a kind of a brief overview and outline of the rest of the book of Revelation. In the discussion about the seals. The seals that were upon the book, upon the scroll that only the Lamb of God could open, is discussed in chapter 5. And I think I want to touch on each verse just a little bit, so we get the understanding that of what's going to take place. This veil that covers the eyes of the human race as a whole is not permanent either. So when the time comes, when it comes time to unroll this open the seals, life on earth is going to start changing drastically. Far more drastic than we might think is changing today. Verse 20 says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." There's a final conquering, the opening act, you might say, of conquering the earth that has begun at this moment. The day to conquer, the day when the earth begins to be overthrown and the systems of earth fail. Verse 3, and when he'd opened, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but, and when he opened the second seal in verse 3, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they that should kill one, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Peace taken from the earth. I was thinking, let's turn there quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. To get the Christian perspective leading up to this time. Paul writes in verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And in other words, unexpected, and when people are unaware. "For when they shall say peace and safety..." There will be that time come when the earth as a whole, they will declare, the leaders that have gathered in the earth as a whole will declare that they finally come to terms and they defeated disruption. They've defeated those things, and they can say, "We have achieved peace and safety." Can you imagine anybody of the world getting to that point in this day and age? It's something we get and say, maybe a committee, United Nations, who knows what, say, "We have achieved peace and safety. We have free and open trade between every nation. There's no nation attacking another nation. We've put an end to war. We put an end to anger. We put an end to disruption. Everybody is holding hands and singing Kumbaya." When they shall say that, they're really declaring they have done what God would not and did not do. "Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet salvation, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, or dead or living, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Our hope, we're not they. We are expecting that day when peace and safety will be taken from the earth. We're expecting the day that will lead up to that time when they will declare peace and safety. We are expecting the human race and mankind as a whole to be deceived into putting their trust in the Antichrist and the systems of that guy. We are anticipating that. We're not to be deceived by it, fooled by it, blinded by it. I draw no comfort when they say, well, we've got this new government program that's going to resolve this issue. I don't know if that's ever happened or that it ever will. The more they talk about resolving difficult issues, the more skeptical I personally become. So, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money and generally accomplish little. But we are of the day. We know we aren't asleep, spiritually asleep. We are aware of what the direction the world is going. We are aware of what's taking part. And we are aware that back in our text that there is going to be a red horse that's going to be released when the third seal is open. A red horse and a rider. And to him will be given a great sword. And he'll take peace from the earth. And people on earth will kill one another openly and abundantly. There are times of, you know, they talk about the number of COVID-related, they don't use the word related, COVID deaths. And that is nothing. That is nothing. What will it be like when a third of the world's population dies in the times of the tribulation? You know, 2.5 billion people. It's unimaginable. What can you possibly do in a time like that? But anyway, there will be death spread across the world in abundance. That was the second seal. Verse 5. And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Speaking of justice and measuring. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. Since see thou hurt not the oil or the wine. It'll be a time of famine. A measure of wheat, it's not really described what a measure of wheat is. But a penny in, I was trying, you know, sometimes to bring these measurements into current terms. But food is going to, basic food is going to become expensive. We've never seen anything like that, have we? Or did I misread the ads last week in the paper? What are they talking about now? The grain embargoes, and India's just made the decision. They're the second largest, wheat exporter in the world. And they've said, we're shutting the doors right now. We're not exporting any wheat. I believe the price of wheat has gone up worldwide. I want to say a tremendous amount, like 30-40%. Basic food and grains. There's going to be hunger. There's going to be death. There's going to be a lack of peace. Sounds like chaos, doesn't it? Sounds like chaos. And when he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death.
and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Okay, there's a fourth part of the earth. Still close to 2 billion people. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? How long? They're with the Lord. They're kept there under the altar. They're in the safety and security of the holy place of God. But how long, O Lord, before you judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So there will be Christians, there will be believers on earth during this time. And as we won't go back to chapter 4 and 5, but as we pick up back then, there are Christians who are redeemed that are with the Lord in the presence of God at this time. So there are those who will go through parts of the tribulation period, this horrid, horrid time. He says, wait, there's more going to be beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, your fellow servants, that will yet be killed. And the Lord knows what's going on. He knows what's taking place. But it's needful. And as the word of God has promised, in these things too, God will be glorified. In those ugly, ugly times. Because still, with all this going on, the veil is heavy upon the eyes and the hearts of the world. And they do not know why all this is happening and what is going on. But we can read it right here. We can know it. And plan on it. And be ready not to be here. Then verse 12, and I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed, and this is the main verse I want to get to. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. At that moment, they see when the sky, the heavens are literally rolled back. And the heaven here means, like, in other words, the sky is opened back like a scroll. You just roll it up and open it up. And it's departed, it's separated, it is torn in two. And opened up, and that veil is lifted, because immediately they, doesn't matter if they are the richest king or the greatest person or the lowest bond slave, they're all running for cover in common to hide themselves, begging for the rocks and the mountains and to fall on and kill them, to hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. God is going to judge this world. God is going to return. Jesus is coming again in glory and in power. We tell this to the world. We can express this in our lives. We can testify of this. The people would much rather give themselves to foolish, worthless, ungodly activities than worry about this prophecy, this truth, this reality. Again, there's a veil that prevents It's a veil of unbelief. It's a veil of rebellion. It's a veil of denial that shades the eyes, that covers the hearts and the minds and the eyes of mankind. Yet for us, you can look out at the sky and realize there's a very thin veil. And one day, it's just going to be rolled back in the glory and the power of the Lamb of God will be unveiled. That's what the word revelation means. This revelation, this revealing, this unveiling of the word of Jesus to the world. For the great day, verse 17 says, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? None. God is only going to put up with mankind for so long. And people really taunt Christians. They taunt God. Where's the consequences for me not believing in God? We see this in many ways, the lawlessness that is coming upon this country. The lawlessness of, DJ was just explaining during Sunday school that he's still working a little security for a couple stores. And he's talking about how high the prices are. And he said, what you have is these small groups of people come in, even adults. And one will go this way and ask for help to do something. Another will go this way and look at things. And suddenly they leave and there's 10 items missing that were never paid for. We have these groups that have been in some of these bigger cities. They pull up in front of a store of expensive goods, like a dozen or 15 of them. They run in. They just smash, grab whatever they want, and run back out. And down the street they go with thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of goods. Lawlessness. There's no consequences. Why bother paying for something when there's no consequences for breaking the law? That's the way the whole of the human race in general is living today. It appears there are no consequences for not believing and putting one's trust in God or being in obedience to his word. Christians can live that way as well. Why do I need to follow the leading of the Spirit? There's no consequences. I go on with life. I do the things I want to do. Like I said, one time somebody, they told me, said, you know, that I believe everybody, when they die, they go to a good place. They go to heaven, but there's no God there. It's just a good place. It's just there. They anticipate going to the place good. They don't anticipate there being anything like a hell or regrets or sadness or sorrow or judgment. Judgment for actions, illegal actions, unlawful actions. There's no accountability. There's a growing increase of lack of accountability. There's even cities that, and I'm not getting into politics, but there's cities where they no longer pursue. You know, if you steal something that's less than $1,000, they're not even going to bother tracking you down. Walk in the store, fill your cart, get what you want, walk out, load it up in the car, drive away. Everything's free. Everything's easy. You're a fool to go to work. Why go to work when you just go out and get what you need and walk away? We live in a world where the strands of civilization are being stressed and being unraveled. Many of the protests we see here in the last week or so, there's no consideration. I forget who I was talking to, but they're talking to I think it might have been Aaron, but talking to a police officer, and it's simply people who will not and refuse to live according to laws cannot be policed. If you have no fear of, no concern about, and refuse to be concerned about breaking the speed limit, you drive any speed you want to do, you want to, wherever you drive, if they refuse to be policed, you can't force police on anybody unless you go to the level of, like in China, and you simply lock everybody in their homes until they obey. And that's not police action. We are a country that we are meant to believe in laws, to follow laws, to respect laws. But the growing attitude of the throughout the world and in our country today is that laws, and I'm somewhat of the same opinion, laws come and go. Depends who's in power. And laws can be changed. What was illegal one day is okay, is legal today. So then laws lose their meaning. But the word of God will not, cannot be changed. The word of God, the plan of God, the person of God will not, cannot ever be changed. And that's why it'll be such a shock when the Lord comes in glory and in power, because lawlessness will be ruling all over the world. Ungodliness will be at its absolute peak. There will be no worse time ever in throughout eternal history than what we've just read in chapter 6. Never again, when Jesus comes in glory and power, never again will there be such a horrible time. Ever. Ever. And I'm persuaded, I'm not setting dates, but just the attitude that we feel seeping in to our culture, to our society, into the world. Just this attitude of lawlessness and disrespect for individual humans, but not to mention for Jesus. It's just going to increase. Because people will say, well, there's no consequences for disobeying God. There is. And we don't wish it upon anyone at any time. But there will be a plentiful amount of people who will live through this horrid time of the judgment of the Lamb that will come upon earth. This veil is just going to be torn wide open in a moment. And everybody will see Jesus. And they will know it's Jesus. And they will flee and try to hide. They'll be so deceived, or later in Revelation talks about how they'll try to make war with the Lamb. I know, let's just shoot God down with a missile. I don't think that's going to work. Well, I could just deny him before and move on with my life, and there were no consequences. So why can't we just kill God? In effect, it's the same thing. Let's just kill God by just not acknowledging his existence. Let's deny his existence and live the way we want to live. That attitude of rebellion, that the word of God does not mean what it says, is the very foundation and basis of sin in man that started in the garden. Surely, the devil said, surely you won't die. Surely death is not a consequence of eating this beautiful, lovely, very appealing fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We know how that turned out. But some don't believe that either. So many people live horribly. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Horribly, horribly, horribly unaware. 2 Peter chapter 3. That at any moment, this veil, well, I'd say at any moment, in the near future, this veil can be separated, torn apart, and rolled back, and the very kingdom and power and glory of God appear, and everyone will see it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, as we read in Thessalonians. In other words, when the world's not expecting that thing, not expecting it at all. Sound asleep, comfortable, resting, oblivious to what's going on, and suddenly the day of the Lord will come. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let me stop there. The elements, they shall melt with a fervent heat. The things of man, let me define a few words here. The phrase there, shall pass away, means to come near or aside, to go by or away. The Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, the sky, this day, this atmospheric veil over the earth shall go away. Rolled back like a scroll. With a great noise. And this word noise, I don't know why in 43 some years or 45 years of studying, I don't remember reading or looking up the definition. I just took it as a great noise. But interestingly, and I'll see if I can say it, in the Strong's Concordance, it defines the word noise as whizzingly. I don't think I've ever said whizzingly before in my life, or with a crash. With a great rush, with a great crash, the atmosphere will be torn open and split apart. And the elements, the orderly arrangement of things, the very basic elements of life on earth, the orderly arrangement will be broken up and dissolved. And melt. This word melt means to break up or dissolve. This word dissolve is only used twice in all the New Testament. Here and when... I'll back off on that. That was a different word earlier that I skipped over. But it means to break up or to simply dissolve. That veil, that inability to see God, that'll be separated and moved. And the elements melt with a fervent heat, or dissolved with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein, all of the worthless, foolish, ungodly activities and efforts of mankind will be brought to nothing. Nothing. We spend a lot of time doing absolutely nothing. Now, I do things, you do things. We give ourselves to activities and to doing things. And sometimes we put a great deal of effort and time and stuff in it, but never do I let those displace the fact that, you know, one day this isn't going to matter at all. It's something to occupy myself with now. It's something I do now. It's something that an activity is a work that the Lord has given to me to. But in that, I'm learning about Him. I'm learning about life. I'm learning about myself. I'm reaping, you know, and gathering the eternal value out of things. But I know that someday it's all going to be gone. it's just going to be melt. It's just going to be dissolved. It's not going to matter. So you don't worry about it. And the earth also, and the works, again, the thing that the toil, that the effort or occupation, or the acts and the deeds that are therein shall be burned up. Then verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, here's that word dissolve again. Remember, this word dissolve is used in verses 10, 11, and 12. Kind of makes a point. Again, the word dissolve is the same as the word melt. Seeing then all these things shall be melted or dissolved, to broken up. And what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be broken up or dissolved, melted, and the elements shall melt or be dissolved with fervent heat. The history of man will be eliminated. The history of God working with man will be enshrined forever. So as the world that we live in is fully occupied with worthless, senseless, foolish, ungodly activities, we are called to be aware and alert and awake as children of the day, realizing that these things of darkness, there will be an accountability. That veil is going to be opened. And all the eyes of mankind, living and dead, shall know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We don't hear this. You don't get on the news and say, well, we had this great building collapse somewhere, but that's okay. God's going to dissolve it anyway. Or lives are lost. Well, that's okay. God can redeem their souls anyway. There's nothing that God cannot redeem that is worth redeeming that he has not redeemed. And there's nothing that will continue if it's not worth anything. God is going to rule and reign over every particle of his universe. Nothing will be unjudged, unclarified. Anything worthless will not remain. Anything worth anything will endure forever. There are powerful forces at work around us. There's great confusion and darkness. There is horrid, horrid times coming that make the times we're going through now look like child's play. But it's a taste, a foretaste, a sampling of what's to come. Be aware of it. Don't be deceived into thinking that perhaps this is not true. All I did was read Revelation chapter 6. All I did was read Scripture and define words. It's not my teaching, not my doctrine. It's the Word of God. Most people you run into on a daily basis will take a survey and say, no, that's not worth believing. And the reporting will be, 80% of people don't believe that stuff, so it's not worth believing. Okay. Their minds will be changed one day. The truth, reality will be seen, and Jesus will return in power and in glory. I'm going to stop with that for today, but may this fact stay in your hearts and your minds in the days ahead. Because we don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what turmoil will come upon this earth in very short order. It could. But we needn't be surprised or dismayed. we can be ready and watching and rejoicing in the promises of God. Let's close in prayer. Lord, O God, how we thank you and we praise you for the utter faithfulness that you exhibit toward us this day and every day. We thank you for your word that gives us understanding and insight into what's coming upon this world, that we would not be dismayed, we would not be worried, we would not fret, but that we would rejoice in the hope that you set before us. Father, bless this message to each of our hearts, and may our hearts and minds be filled with those things that matter. May we give our time this day to things that matter. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get the brown hymnal, Grace and Glory. It's the last song in the book, number 285. Number 285. Must stand and sing the third verse.
That glad day is swiftly approaching, when the bridegroom shall come for his own. Face to face I shall see him in glory. I shall know him as now I am known. When the trumpet shall sound that glad day, and the Lord comes to catch us away, face to face I shall see him in glory. When the trumpet shall sound that glad day.
There's a trumpet going to sound when the Lord gathers his bride home, and when he gathers his people home. Something that will be hidden from the world. They won't know what happened. They won't be able to figure it out. And really, frankly, they won't be concerned. But we will be in glory with Christ. So God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. Amen.